Hello, I would like to speak to you on the subject of the world's next great catastrophe. Someone says, Chaplain, do you think that the world's next great catastrophe will be an invasion from Russia? Well, that may be probable, but I don't think it'll be the world's next great catastrophe. I believe that it's found in the Word of God. I believe it's coming. I believe it's soon. I believe it's imminent. If you will turn with me quickly in your Bible, there are many scriptures that we could read upon this subject, but we will just choose a few to start with here, found in 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter and the 13th verse. It says this, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Now listen to this. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words." Well, someone would say, Chaplain, how can you preach that this is the world's greatest catastrophe or the next greatest catastrophe to come upon the earth? And it says to comfort one another with these words. Well, I'd like to simply say this, that it is a comfort to the Christian to know that Jesus Christ is coming back again. But to the lost world that is without Christ and they only have religion in their heads and not their hearts, it's going to be a great catastrophe. And this is going to take place like this. One of these days, it might be 12 o'clock at noon. It might be 3 o'clock in the morning. But it's going to be at some time, and of course, it'll be at various times across the face of the earth, Jesus is coming back. That means everyone that is born again, that's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean just Baptists or Presbyterians, but it means everyone that's been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That he is going to raise the dead in Christ first, and then immediately another trumpet's going to sound, and he is going to translate those that are here. And the Bible speaks about in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And science tells us that that is a tenth of a second. That fast, the second coming of Christ is going to transpire. Now, what's going to happen? I wonder what's going to happen to the airplanes. I know some Christian pilots that fly some of the great airlines. And these airplanes are going to be flying along, and maybe even the pilot and the co-pilot are both born-again Christians, flying along, and all of a sudden, they hear a trumpet sound. Won't that be wonderful to hear that trumpet sound and Jesus coming back again? But you know, my friends, for all those passengers on that plane, they're going to be doomed, because that plane is going to spiral down towards the ground, and it's going to be a tremendous crash. Maybe someone at the terminal where the planes are stacked so many thousand feet high, coming in, maybe through fog and rain and so forth, maybe the controller at that airport all of a sudden is a Christian and he's going to be taken out to meet the Lord in the air. I wonder about that. All of those planes up there, no one to take over. What a time that's going to be. Planes crashing into buildings. What about the men that are the switchmen for the railroad that are Christians, born again, saved? Trains are going to be wrecking. Why, you're going to listen to the Christian radio stations. We have some Christian radio stations in our neighborhood around here, and all of a sudden there's nobody there. While you turn to some of the rock and roll stations, everything's going along just fine. But my friends, when you come to this time in life, it's going to be a great catastrophe. Why, cars are going to be crashing on the expressways, and cars will slam into one another because of the tremendous tie-ups and the crashes. And I believe that even maybe the lights in all the major cities will go out. You know what? I believe that these lights that are going out in some of these cities, I believe they're really a warning from God of the impending judgment and the doom that is really to come upon a nation that has forgotten God. My friends, I believe that we're living in the last days. Now, can you picture it? The airplanes are crashing. The trains are running into one another. And all of a sudden, cars begin to run into one another. And there's big tie-ups, and people are missing out of the cars. They can't find them. And a man is running down the street, and he says, "Have you seen my wife? Have you seen my children?" Well, they'll say, "No," said Mr. So-and-so across the street, said he can't find his wife. And the people start running the streets and said, "Our loved ones are gone. What happened?" And someone said, "Well, it seems like the Christians are gone, the ones that went to church." And they said, "No, I know a lot of people down the street that they went up here to this social gospel church, but they're all here." But my friends, the ones that have truly been born of God, there's going to be a great weeping and a great crying. And people are going to say, "But my loved ones are gone. Have you seen my boy? Have you seen my girl?" And dads that rejected Jesus Christ and waited until it was too late to be saved. Someone said, "Well, I'll know, preacher. I'll know that's the second coming of Christ, and then I'll come to Jesus." No, the Bible tells us also in Thessalonians that God will send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie, who have pleasures in unrighteousness rather than to receive the love of the truth. That means simply this, that because you'd rather live out in this wicked world of sin that's going on today rather than going to God's house and being an old-fashioned Christian, you'd rather go out to the beaches and to the places of amusement. My friend, the Bible tells me because you'd rather have the pleasures in sin for a season, that God is going to send you strong delusion that you would believe a lie, and that you will believe that this man that's going to rise, who the Bible speaks of as the beast, whose number is 666, the Bible tells me that you're going to believe that this is the real Christ. And of course, we know him to be the Antichrist. And anyone that receives this mark in their forehead or on their hand, it is impossible for them to be saved. The Bible says that they are damned. That means that these people have no chance to be saved. Now, my friends, the Bible says if you do not accept Christ today and you've heard the gospel, it'll be impossible for you to be saved in that day and time. You'll say, "Preacher, well, who's going to be saved during that time?" In the Great Tribulation period, there are going to be those that never heard the gospel, the heathen. And that's when the Bible will be fulfilled, when it says that my gospel shall be preached unto all nations as a witness. But not until then. And don't forget this, that just about every nation, even now, has had the gospel preached to them. So, folks, we realize that our days are numbered and that Jesus is coming back. Well, I know a lot of people said, "Well, they have been preaching that ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper." But my friends, that's what they said in the Bible days. "Why," I said, "since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. But in an hour that you think not, so cometh the Son of Man." I would say that the world's next great catastrophe, if one day you're driving down the highway and all of a sudden you see a car's wrecking on both sides of the highway, and you get out of your car and you see many cars empty that are torn all to pieces with the doors locked and nobody in them, you just might find out that you are in the middle of the world's greatest catastrophe, the second coming of Christ, and that you've been left behind, and that it's too late to make your peace with God. I was talking to a man in the hospital a few years ago, and he was dying of cancer. This man was too weak to talk to me, but he could nod his head a little bit, and I asked him if he was a Christian, and his wife nodded no, and he looked up in my eyes pitifully, and he went through the sinner's prayer, barely could whisper in my ear, had to put my ear practically, or my mouth upon his ear to make him hear. Now that man went out into eternity. I do not know if he was saved. My friends, don't wait until you get this far down the road of destruction to turn back to God. Don't wait that late. This man, maybe he went to heaven, maybe he went to hell. I do not know. But I know one thing, that if you will trust Jesus today, he can save you. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you kneel right there by your record player or by your radio, and say, "Lord, come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake, and I'll meet you in heaven." God bless you.